head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The tough thing is he said all of those comments last week. I mean, if you missed them last week, all of those. Just in a... I think it was, Dave, here's my final message to you losers in the Midwest.
Yeah, Happy New Year, jerks.
Here's what I've done just recently. You know? All right, let's jump in. This was a very good day for Mike Johnson, right? I mean, people did not know where this might go, how long it might go. It was a protracted first ballot. It had an intermission. I don't know if we had popcorn. But he ended up getting two to switch their vote back for him. So on one ballot, Mike Johnson, once again, is the Speaker of the House.
Yes. It was imperative for Speaker Johnson and his team to do this on the first ballot. It was imperative for President-elect Trump to have it done on the first ballot. Neither had any interest, nor would essentially tolerate division, chaos, and anything that would appear to suggest the incoming Trump administration would have trouble in the House of Representatives. Now, to be clear, electing a speaker in the House of Representatives is the legislative and political equivalent of tying your shoes.
Yes.
Okay?
Right. It used to be, at least. Yeah.
I mean, it's not... I mean, and that's not a partisan statement.
No. Right.
The
just
House
wasn't automatic.
Majority... The House majority, Democrat or Republican, must elect a speaker because it can't swear in any members for the new Congress until there is a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't pass a rules package to determine how legislation of any kind will be considered on the House floor without a rules package. You can have a rules package without members sworn in. You can have members sworn in without electing a speaker. So it is the first, most basic, simplest, historically, obligation of a new Congress, elect a speaker. That it was visited with an hour and 35 minutes of drama gives you an insight into the difficulties this very narrow, historically narrow, House Republican majority will face. But they got through it. And getting through it is better than not getting through it. And President-elect Trump, even after putting out Truth Social posts about this, making his advocacy for Mike Johnson fundamentally clear, still had to pick up the phone and call members during this hour and 35 minutes where the fate of the speaker and the House Republican majority and the Trump agenda hung in the balance. So that gives you a pretty good insight into the kind of hands-on approach this president, once he becomes president on January 20th, is going to have to deal with a restive and still not completely unified House Republican majority.
We knew for a while that Thomas Massie was going to vote against Mike Johnson. We knew there were others who might vote present. Who knows what they might do? We had a few who just wouldn't vote the first time their name was read. But we had two other representatives, Keith Self and Ralph Norman, who voted for individuals outside of Johnson and then eventually flipped their votes for Johnson.
Yep.
Did they get something in return?
To be determined. They went to the cloakroom and huddled with now Speaker Johnson, Dusty Johnson, who is a member from South Dakota.
Yep.
A frequent emissary between warring factions of the House Republican Conference. He is a kind of political glue within the House Republican Conference. He has good relationships across all the ideological Trumpian, non-Trumpian sides, and is an honest broker. He was talking to Ralph Norman. He was talking to Keith Self. Thomas Massey was not talked to. Nobody talked to Thomas Massey because they knew he was unreachable. Went to the cloakroom. When you're in the cloakroom and you're having face-to-face conversations, things typically are exchanged. Before this vote, Speaker Johnson, presumptive, said there would be no quid pro quo. He was not going to trade anything to anyone in particular to get their vote. We'll see if that held.
Fellow journalist Matt Gaetz, a peer of yours, colleague of yours, lover of Botox like you, there were some murmurs that he might actually show
up. Wait a minute. Matt Gaetz's experience with Botox is much more than an act of youthful exuberance.
Oh, my God. He looks like Wayne Newton now.
It's a kind of obsessionary devotion. Yeah.
Matt, just back away a little, right? I mean, who doesn't want to look younger? I can't fault you, but I don't know. 20 shots might be a bit much. That's just me.
And you don't need to apply it with an iron.
Yes, that's probably one that's been turned on to turbo hot.
Yes.
You know, let's just avoid it. Did anybody think he really was going to show up today and try to vote?
No. No one did. No. That was built into the expectation. So that meant the effective House Republican present majority was 219. Meaning if you lost two votes, that takes you to 217. That was not enough. You needed 218, so you could have, meaning Speaker Johnson could have one holdout. Thomas Massey identified himself as that and would tackle anyone who was not quite clear on that point. He wants to make sure everyone knows he's an iconoclast, and that's putting it diplomatically. He's just not in on the Johnson approach to leadership or the entire House Republican leadership team, so he was always out. The other two were a bit of a surprise. Many of the other members of Congress that we were watching who held out the first time didn't vote, just didn't say present, didn't say anything, just let the vote pass them by, all came around to Johnson. And that indicates to me that they were waiting to see how big the anti-Johnson vote was going to be, not including them. Then it was large enough to make it clear that Johnson couldn't get the speakership unless they all came back. And even then, it wasn't going to be enough, but they all came back. They all got back in the fold. And that exerted more pressure on Keith Self and Ralph Norman. And after phone calls with President-elect Trump, they came around too.
Let's talk about the president-elect. Since the election, he's been fairly behind the scenes, right? Tweets, a press conference where, hey, nice to see you. You're looking good. I mean, it's kind of a little more measured Donald Trump. And I start thinking, well, could he be slightly different Donald Trump? And then we have the tragedy in Orleans, which was an act of terror. This was a terrorist act where a man who was a member of the U.S. Army mowed down and murdered 14 individuals and was killed after he removed himself from his rented vehicle. And Donald Trump, who won his nomination in 16 by staking out his position on the board and immigration over his Republican opponents, and it played a key part in 16, and it played an enormous part in 24. Let's just be honest. President-elect is lying about the connection between the border and a U.S.-born citizen. And again, you can have two things, Major. You can have criticism at Joe Biden and the border, which I think is just and apt and appropriate. But you also can tell the truth about a murderer who killed 14 who was born here, and the president-elect is not doing that.
Yeah, and you have to ask yourself, why? Well, I think this country better brace itself for a declaration on January 20th or the day thereafter of a national emergency and the invocation of pronounced federal powers in terms of immigration. That's coming. ladies and gentlemen, and don't kid yourself that it's not. And lying about this for a certain segment of the Trump fan base makes it seem all the more necessary. Okay? This was a premeditated decision to amplify concerns about immigration in anticipation of taking office and declaring a national emergency, and investing the federal government in national emergency powers previously not exercised in this sphere, declaring a state of war, possibly, because of an invasion, etc. We don't know what the exact language is going to be, but I'm telling you, brace yourself. And rhetoric like this about the episode, the tragedy, the homicidal maniac in New Orleans is not an accident.
No, it's not. I agree with you 1,000%. We still have a president. We don't see him much. He was available today, and he was awarding 20 individuals the President's Citizens Medal, including to Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney. Okay, we can't even make this up. We believe that you have control of this because this open of yours, Dave Harrigan, how often a week does the Major Garrett open fire?
That's three times this week, twice today.
We believe you have a button somewhere in the mansion in Virginia. It's near the moat. It's near the security that, you know, Jeeves hits it for your amusement. It's amazing. So we'll see if I can get this statement out without the open firing again. What do you think about how Joe Biden included Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney, the chairs of the January 6th committee for the President's Citizens Medal, clearly sending a message?
Of course he's sending a message. And the larger question will be, will he issue preemptive pardons? I don't think either of them want them. I don't think either of them believe they need them. And I think they believe if they were charged by a Trump Justice Department, they would eagerly fight those charges in court. So this is a way of signaling, I appreciate your actions. I appreciate your leadership, what you did to bring facts to the American public, which the January 6th committee did. Those were viewed in a political context, and President Trump asked the country to sort that out, at least in part, in the election. And he got the result he wanted to. He denounced that immediately, continues again to lie that the January 6th committee destroyed evidence, didn't destroy evidence, talked about Speaker Pelosi. That's been debated. All of it is now part of a January 6th story that will have another chapter. And that next chapter to come will be on January 20th or January 21st or January 22nd of this year when, mark my words, then President Trump, no longer president-elect, will issue pardons. How widespread they are for January 6th convicts, meaning people convicted by a jury or who pled guilty, and for what offenses, we will find out. There are plenty of those who expect complete pardons of everyone, even the most violent offenders.
Wouldn't shock me.
See how aggressive he is on that.
Yeah, would not shock.
But that's the next phase of this conversation. And the next application of what is the rule of law.
Yeah, a very fair question. Is there anything outside of Biden and those future long-term Hunter Biden-like pardons? Are you expecting anything else dramatic from Biden over the last couple weeks?
Well, he's going to go to New Orleans on Monday. And it's been interesting in the last couple of days. The president has spoken about this, and both times he has spoken about it, he has added new information. He's taken FBI briefings and been the first to convey them to the American public. The first time he did that, telling everyone, which we did not know previously, that the suspect killed on site after ramming his electric vehicle truck through the crowd on Bourbon Street had recorded videos. That was an FBI briefing to the president. He said that in his prepared remarks, letting the country know that for the first time. Yesterday in remarks, he said that there were detonator devices in the possession of that same assailant for the improvised explosive devices, the pipe bombs that he himself set in other parts of Bourbon Street. So I found it very interesting that President Biden, re-engaging on the public stage in ways he hasn't in recent weeks, not only did so in the traditional role of consoler-in-chief, but also conveyed new information to try to perhaps recontextualize the sense that he has been basically out to lunch since November 5th.
For the final time, you will hear it from me until next year, because 3 days is the limit. Happy New Year. It is the limit. You agree. I know you do.
I will defer to your leadership on this important matter.
I appreciate that. Is that only on this one or going forward?
Only on this one.
I thought so. I was really hoping it wouldn't be. Thank you, Major Garrett, with us. Can we squeeze in a little bit of Am I Wrong when we come back?
I have to talk to the committee. They're not happy.
Let's see what the committee has to say.